He says, no, you're going to tell me something today, tough guy. I said, all right, I'll tell you something.
Ryan rolls to his right, looking downfield, fires deep downfield, wants Julio Jones. There's double coverage down there, and the Jaguars have picked it off. Trey Herndon went up and got it. He high-pointed it.
It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
Right.
Funny how?
Shotgun drop and throw is Minshew. To your point, along the right sideline, on cue, Chris Conley with a catch. That's going to be a touchdown. Minshew threw it down the field for Conley and the score.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
Ryan rolls right, looks downfield, fires, and that ball is going to be intercepted by Jared Wilson. What a break on the ball. Terrific play by the free safety. He jumped the route, jumped in front of Julio Jones, and picked it off near the 30-yard line.
Get out of here, Tommy.
I almost had him. I almost had him. Frankie, was he shaking? I wonder about you sometimes, Henry. You may fold under questioning.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today.
Oh, yeah.
With your hosts, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Tom McManus.
And don't forget E.T., of course.
E.T.
rolling into a Friday show. Good morning, everybody. Hello, Tommy Mack.
Good morning. That got me fired up. I love that movie.
Yeah, Pesci's hilarious.
He's the best.
He is hilarious.
You know, it's funny. I wear a pen normally in my shirt. One, so I always have something to write with.
Pen, okay.
Like a pen.
Yeah.
Number two, as for a weapon, if you need it. Like Joe Pesci used it in Goodfellas. Remember, he got the guy with a pen in the neck.
Did he?
At the bar, yeah. I think that's what he used. He used a pen.
I'm an expert at that movie, and I don't remember that.
He's seen it for
when
the first time.
When he came back in, didn't he come
Is
in with a pen?
Thing?
Oh, maybe it was Casino.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because
maybe it was Casino.
He shot him in the bar. You talking about?
No. Remember, they threw the
one?
Guy in the trunk.
The guy.
Threw
in the trunk.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Spider.
Remember, he stabbed him in the neck with something. I thought it was a pen.
He didn't stab him. Was it a pen?
I thought it always was a pen. That's why I've been wearing it for years. Thank you.
And then
because it's
they,
a great weapon if you need it.
They kicked him to death, or so they thought.
The De Niro stomp. Getting the arm swinging.
You know, until Pesci's mom, who's his real mom, by the way.
Oh, really?
I think that's really. No. It's not his mom. It's Scorsese's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, it's who
okay.
it is. Right?
I didn't know that.
Played Pesci's mom, and she had to lend him the knife.
Yeah.
It's the hoof. The hoof. What do you call it? Love that. That made me, scene where they stopped by her house may be my favorite part of Goodfellas.
I don't remember what he stabbed him with in Goodfellas. Like, it's famous, the scene that he stabbed the guy with the pen in Casino.
Oh, like, did he stab him with a pen in
for
Casino?
For sure.
Who did he stab? I'm getting him mixed up. Who did he stab in Casino?
They're the same movie.
I don't
yeah, right. Basically.
Kind
of. Basically.
A lot of it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't remember who he stabbed, but I remember vividly that he used a pen to do it.
Wow.
Must be.
Well, maybe I'm getting him. But anyway,
we're
wear the patch.
We're burying the lead here. McManus has pentricide on his mind. He wants to kill you with a pen.
No, I'm just saying. You never know when you need it. You know, listen, I'm in a store. I do the grocery shopping, and I love it. I think about what aisle I'm in case anybody comes in and wants to be, you know.
Like what weapon you would choose?
Absolutely, man. Give me a can of soup. I'll whip it at your head.
No,
you will die.
The canned goods aisle.
Oh, the best. Even like a Gatorade.
Pony.
You know, grab a small Gatorade and whip it at somebody.
As
That'll
far
hurt
as
you.
Grocery store combat is concerned, the canned food
I'm sorry,
the
I
best.
Think these things. I
it's
think about this
best.
Stuff.
You can really bash somebody down
it's
with a small Gatorade.
Dang right, man.
A small
no doubt.
Gatorade? Yeah, because the big one's unwieldy, right? I mean,
exactly.
It may slip out of your hand.
That small one, you could bash them down.
Yeah, I'm not thinking one on. I'm thinking like some shooter comes in. Like, I'm going to grab something. I'm going
right.
to whip it
well,
at.
So you're not
I'm not talking
like,
about,
like
you know,
guy
some guy
going
bumps
the wrong
me.
Way down the aisle in Publix now, right? Like, hey.
Hey, by the way.
Hey, you see the arrow?
I go backwards on the X.
On purpose?
Oh, yeah. Just if I see some of my. I walk backwards with my car until I find
backwards,
it.
As long as you're right.
Because I'm not
as long as you're facing your car's facing the right
direction.
Right,
I just go backwards.
It makes sense. You know, because it's where your spit is flying. I think we want all the spit flying right. in the same direction.
Yeah. That's I normally don't talk, though, in Publix.
You don't talk?
No. I mean, okay. Someone says hello, I say hello, yeah, but I'm not. I'm like, I'm busy,
who
man.
Does?
I,
who goes around I got a list. Talking in some,
so, you know what? A lot of people do.
Wonder if I'll throw the,
think about it.
The chicken noodle or the tomato today.
No, no, but people walk around that place all the time with the food samples, and they just, that's like their social hour. You know, they go in there and they have a little wine. They, you know,
so
eat a
on
little
occasion
food.
They do the little wine. I mean, like yeah. we go, like my wife will go. You know, they're not doing it right now. Like Costco doesn't give out the samples, but she'll be like, "I'm going to Costco. You want right. to, you want to walk right. around and get some samples,
get some
right?
Like, yeah. I mean, it's like really, a field trip.
I don't need anything Great. In that big of
food
a bulk
field trip
purchase right. that often. You right. know, right. there are a few things we get
sure.
at Costco. We got a membership, and I like it, and it's fine,
yeah. oh,
but.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the high, that's why you go to Costco, man. They got like 15 little kiosks set yeah. up, Tony,
that's
offering
lunch.
You some macaroni salad
that's
or
lunch.
Something.
You yeah. tell me people don't go in there, walk around,
oh,
get a bite to eat, and
right,
boom,
but,
they're out.
But in Costco, you got to have a paid
membership
to be
right.
in there. So, yeah. But it's yeah. worth it. You get it's lunch every day.
What if you did? You just gave we just gave someone a great idea.
Well,
I mean, it's worth $100,
you
right?
What,
you eat
man?
Lunch every day.
Honestly, if I were a person of you know, let's say I'm a homeless person, right? But I, uh-huh. you know, a lot of homeless people, I'm serious about this. Like, you could get a gym membership at a cheap gym, take a shower every day if you wanted to.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
You
just
too.
Go in and use the shower facility and
yeah.
be done with it.
Yeah.
You know, and you say, well, how are they going to afford that? Well, there are gym memberships out there for like $10 a month.
There are.
You know, there's
yeah.
some cheap ones out there.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I hear what you're saying. You know, too bad they couldn't just shower
yeah, I
somewhere.
I hope there's no homeless people. You know what I
no,
mean?
No, like, I know.
I'm not
Wouldn't
trying
that
to,
be great?
I'm not trying to mock any.
No, I know.
I've thought about
not.
This for a long time. Like, my wife and my wife's like, you want to buy an RV one day and just drive around the country? Like, we're
yes.
totally ready to be old people.
I would do. My wife does not
like,
want to do that, but I totally
she
want
goes,
to do that.
Do we need to get one with a shower? I'm like, Planet Fitness, man. What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, we'll get the black membership and we'll bump it up to the
yeah.
black membership and we
yeah.
can go anywhere.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a shower.
You
every
can make
day.
Do is what you're saying if you really had to make.
You could
do. At least to a certain.
I'm trying to prove you don't need a shower every day. As I opened my eyes this morning, it was 8:28 on the old digital clock in the bedroom.
Ah,
and no shower this morning, buddy.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You don't
live around the corner.
No,
wow.
I'm out of the house usually before 8 o'clock on the road, and but I was a good way down the road 15 minutes later.
Did I ever tell you the time when? The plane left the boarding area and then came back to pick me up.
Came for you?
Yeah.
It came back?
It only rolled back like five, you know, it was just starting to roll back.
Real? Once they closed that door, man.
This is 1997,
oh, okay.
right? So, you know, right. back then you could roll up to.
Tom's like, hold this can opener. I'm going to bring this on, too.
No, no.
It was cans of soup in case something starts up here.
I will stab you with this pen.
I will.
Stop
I had.
Plane.
I had a fight to get to a charity thing with Lagerman. We used to do Dennis Byrd out in the Navajo Reservation. It was a great, great trip. And the first year, I had just had my dad's memorial charity softball game. I don't know if you remember that. We had the VIP night. And anyway, things got out of hand and a lot of fun. And so the deal was me and Beasley were going to ride to the airport together. I said, Bees, I'll pick you up. He's like, all right, team back. All right. So anyway, the phone rings in the morning. And I'm already packed. I got my big duffel bag packed. I'm basically ready to go. And I said, Bees, I'll be right there. I know I'm late. He goes, yo, T-Mac, I'm at the airport, man. We're about to board. Where are you? I looked at the clock. It was like 7:05, and the flight was like at 8, maybe.
And you're right, and you're at home.
Right, at the beach.
Right.
Jump in my car. I never hauled ass so fast in my life. Anyway, I was in flip-flops. I had jeans on. I didn't have a chance to do anything, like shower or anything, right? And I know I stunk to high heaven. I got my bag on my shoulder. It was a big duffel bag, too. And I'm running through the park, you know, the parking lot, through the gate, got through security, no problem. I'm hauling ass down. I'm sweating like a pig. I mean, just disgusting. And I turn the, you know, like to come up to the gate, and the door's shut. And the plane, I see the nose of the plane leave, and I'm like, oh, no. And I walk up to the thing. I'm like, lady, yeah, I got to get on that plane. I got to get on that plane. It's a very important plane for me to be on. It's for charity. I got to be there. And they're counting on me. She's like, sorry, Mr. McMahon. Sorry, lift this. I said, listen, I'm really sorry because normally I'm calm, but I got to get on that plane. She's like, Mr. McMahon, sorry, I left. I said, and I banged my hand on the counter. And I said, I got to get on that plane. You don't understand. She goes, give me a minute.
Oh, wow.
Calls the phone. They come back in. So the guys on the plane have no idea what's going on, right? There's like eight of us going on this trip. It was a great trip. And, you know, Logman tells the story later. He's like, you were pulling on. I'm thinking, gosh, dang, T-Mac, I can't believe you missed the flight. Like, you would never miss it. What's wrong with you? Like, what happened? Did you get hurt? Did you, what's going on? And the plane rolls back, and it rolls forward. They open the door, and there I am standing there with my duffel bag.
Duffel bag over your shoulder.
Sweating. And Logman just looks at me and is just like, go to sleep. I slept almost the entire – even the bus ride, I was out the entire – day of travel.
You made it, though.
I made it, and the plane came back, and I want to thank that sweet lady, whoever you are.
Were you
for,
terrified? With
I didn't mean to, but I had to get on that plane. It right. was, you know, for me to miss that flight would be a chink in the armor of my reputation.
How
and
far
I couldn't
would you
have
taken? Would you have snapped her finger? I mean, like, how far would you have pushed it?
Did you have a pin?
I might
on
ask
you?
Her out. I don't know. Maybe she was cute. Or
did you
something.
Have a pin on you?
No pen. I wasn't
She's
wearing
like,
the pen.
I see
at that
your
time.
Pen. Go ahead, sir. Enter the plane.
Anyway,
Tony, we're talking stuff. About a show on Netflix. Tony and I were off the air yesterday. The Santa Clarita Diet. Have you ever heard of this? Show's freaking hilarious, man. It
really
just absurdly. Funny. It's Timothy Oliphant and Drew Barrymore,
okay.
A married couple, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's so funny. She's like
she's
undead.
Funny.
She's
yeah.
come back from the dead,
oh.
right? And so she, you know, they're perfectly normal except she likes to eat people, right? Like every once in a while she has to eat somebody or she's going to starve because
oh
she's like
gosh.
The undead. But it made me think of it because he's trying to pass himself off. He's lying to somebody and he goes, I'm a college professor, and to prove it, he has a pen in his pocket. He holds it up, and he doesn't say anything. He just like holds the pen up, like, see, why else would I have this pen in my pocket?
It's great.
You made me think of that, Tom. So
good.
There
good,
you go.
Good, good.
Did everyone fire. Else's headset just go out, or is it just me?
No, right. I can hear you.
I think I'm. I gotta. Yeah. No. I'm definitely losing the headset. I hate that.
Oh,
these things break so
you
easy.
You want this one? I'll give
no,
you.
No, I got a box. I put it in a box every day. I
right.
like. I like.
You
lay
take
it
care
to
of
rest.
It.
I do take good
yeah.
care of it every day.
I got yep. some gold ones for you.
Nevertheless, was, your gold sweet, ones. Dude. I don't. I'm not good enough in any sweet. Facet of my life to wear that headset. E. So yeah. They look good on you, though.
They do.
They do. Yeah. They look sharp. All right. We've got a couple of questions of the day. Welcome to Jaguars today, everybody.
Hey.
Tom McManus is
football.
Here bringing the big energy,
yeah.
Which we love around these parts.
I'm excited for football. I think we're going to have it.
Well, we'll talk about
that. At
some
point.
We'll talk about
yeah.
that. We'll hear from Cassius Marsh today. We got a couple of questions out there. One of them about the proposed rule change on onside kicks. They would eliminate – you could only do it twice a game. So
okay.
maybe once at the end of each half. Or if you're trailing big and it's successful at the end of a game, you could do it again. But you can't do it all game long necessarily.
Right.
You could do it twice. You could opt to, instead of kicking off and doing an onside kick, you could take the ball 4th and 15 at your own 25-yard line. One offensive play.
Gotcha.
Clock would roll. So there are some permutations to this.
Huh.
But so the question is, are you in favor of the proposal to replace onside kicks with a chance to convert 1 4th and 15 play from your own 25-yard line? Knowing if you come up short, wherever the ball ends up, it's like turnover on downs. The other, if it's incomplete pass or a sack,
yep.
they're getting it deep in your own end right there. So your options are yes, because onside kicks are dumb. No, it's too gimmicky. Or I'm not sure. What is this rule proposal change that you're talking about? So you can vote
right.
there accordingly. The other one is we're asking you, how will you spend Memorial Day in the age of social distancing? Are you doing anything? Are you having a get-together? Are you doing anything a little bit differently this year? So you can share your thoughts with us on that as well, if you so choose. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E.T., we are just getting underway. We'll actually talk a little football. Maybe.
Let's do it.
If
Love
you got
it.
More travel stories, man,
I do.
I'm all down, you know.
I got a ton of them.
Any other Joe Pesci movies you want to reminisce about, we're open for business
Pesh.
Right here.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd like
you
to
know
talk
what they,
to that,
they
dude.
Do? They always get you at the drive-thru.
That's right. That's right.
I started the Irishman at the barbershop.
Oh,
did
yeah.
You?
What do you think of that?
What, a month ago?
I haven't seen it.
I started it yesterday, Thursday.
How deep did you get?
The beginning. But it's something I didn't get to watch much.
It's
of.
Pretty good. I
it
thought
like
it was
good,
but it was a little bit of work, man. It
yeah.
was 3 hours.
Yeah.
Know?
I did finish a series.
Oh.
The Outsider. My
oh,
first
how
one
about
ever.
That?
Did you see it?
Yeah.
You did. What'd you think at the end? It was kind of, I don't know.
I thought it kind of threw me off at the end. It didn't come together the way that I would have.
That I thought it was. Yeah. I know. That's what I was. Like, right around episode 5 or 6, you're like, what the heck? Well, I don't know about all. You know what? It kind of took a turn.
Like, I was super into it.
Yeah,
and
me
the
too.
The end, I was kind of, that's
okay,
right.
Good. So that's how I felt, too. Yeah. You know, at least I got through one. That was good.
Yeah, that is good.
It's like 10 episodes. That's big for me.
That is big.
You know, because I don't normally do this.
I'm running out. I've got, like, nothing to watch. That's why we went back to Santa Clarita Diet, because we've got, we'd watched most of the first two seasons.
Okay.
Really?
I got to try that out.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. It really is.
Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, I mean, they're so good as comedic actors together.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and it's so subtle, and just like the pen thing, just it really. Really struck me. All right.
All right.
So with that, Jaguars today is off and rolling. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you got a 3-day weekend on tap. We are ready to get after it today. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It was dope to be able to have that type of connection, go back to where my dad started his career. That's where his dream came true. He joined the NFL. So it's definitely, you know, a cool connection. And, you know, I know it means a lot to my dad.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Oh, you find out things all the time. Like, you know, I knew you and Pete Mitchell lived together for a while, right back in your Jaguar days.
Yeah,
didn't
3 years.
You were next door neighbors with Curtis Marsh.
Oh, yeah. And Rob Johnson.
And Rob Johnson.
Freshman year. all of our rookie year, basically. Although I technically wasn't a rookie. But, Curtis was great. He was a great dude. Loved hanging out with him. We hung out quite a bit at least that first year, because Pete and I moved around a little bit year to year until we divorced after 3 years of being roommates. And it was a sad day for me and Pete Mitchell, because we had a lot of fun. But it was time to part ways and go on our own. But, Curtis was great.
We had to take a time out, you and I.
Yeah, no doubt. A few.
For a half decade or more.
A few.
Yeah.
Curtis was very talented. He was very athletic, very quick, fast. He played some special teams. I know I don't think he started on special teams, but I know he was on the team for a couple years. So it's got to be a great feeling for him and his son. I mean, now he's a Jag. I mean, that's pretty cool. What was the headline I read? Was it maybe Jaguars.com that said he's the first multi-generational player for the Jags? That
would make sense, yeah.
Right? He's the first one. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know? By the way, that audio is courtesy of Jaguars.com as well. I have a quick technology update for you.
Okay.
My headset's fixed.
All right. I'm glad I could play a small part in it, Dempsey.
I found out that apparently the headset jack that you plug it into here that Dan Hicken and I share, Hicken's been ripping this thing apart.
Jacked.
It's all jacked up.
The jack was jacked up.
There's like a little wire coming out of the back, and when I touched it, alternately, like one of my headset ears would go in and out. So there's a short in the station's equipment, baby. Not my headset.
Yeah, and it does. Like, it affects you. It's weird, right? You're just used to it, you know.
You're absolutely right, because you sit there, and like we do some of our shows on Sirius XM on Zoom.
Right,
now, right,
right. Yeah.
Especially if we have a guest, because they're not allowing producers into the studios. So we're recording segments, doing stuff like that. And with that, I wear a headset, and I hear everyone else's part of the conversation. I don't hear myself in the headset.
Right.
And it's just weird.
Yeah,
you know, when
bizarre.
You're used to wearing it every day, and you're used to hearing that in your ear. Even though, you know, I have, Tony, over the years, how many times have I freaked out looking at you like, am I on? Can you hear me? Right? I mean, because if you can't hear
yourself,
you don't
freak out.
It's not freaked out. Yeah. A little bit, I do.
Does the face get red, Tone, when that happens?
From time to time.
The face starts red.
I love it.
Red.
There's
got to be a better color to describe what, you know.
What it goes to?
Supernova or something like that. I don't know what you would call it. But yes.
That's great.
Curtis Marsh was a 1995 seventh round pick.
Yeah.
By the Jacksonville Jaguars, the inaugural draft, Tom McManus.
No kidding, I forgot about that. I thought he just was a free agent, but that's awesome.
Do you remember they loaded up the expansion teams back then with extra picks?
Right.
Okay. By the way, this was the date in 1991, on today's date, that the NFL decided to expand.
Really?
And they were actually set to do it in 1994. And it didn't go as quickly in the process. And, you know, the Jags were in that. That decision was made, what would that be, 29 years ago today, right, by the National Football League.
Yep.
in a sense, it's a kind of the birthday of the Jaguars in a sense.
In a sense, right? Yeah.
I mean, just the at least the conditions that right. were there for the Jags.
Sperm met egg, basically.
Maybe.
Just getting started.
Maybe, right. Yeah. And then the Jags were born to complete
there you
the,
go. That's why.
Metaphor,
that's right, yeah.
A couple yeah, of years see that down there. The road. So, yes, that's what happened. Yep. First draft, Bocelli, James Stewart, both first rounders.
Great.
DeMarco and Schwartz, both
great.
Second rounders.
Yep.
Chris Hudson.
He was great. Hud was great.
Yes. Bill Cowher almost punched him out.
Yeah.
One of the most famous incidents.
Yep.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Chris was great. He was a good, really good safety.
Your next door neighbor, Rob Johnson.
Yep, Rob.
And
Rob was great.
Mike Thompson, both fourth rounders.
Mike Thompson, yeah, he came from Wisconsin. That's right. He was a defensive lineman from Wisconsin.
Ryan Christopherson, running back out of Wyoming.
His nickname was Rhino, and everyone was like, Rhino, every time they saw him, because he was kind of built like a small rhino.
He's a big dude, and his name's Ryan.
Sense. Right. It was like, hey, Rhino. That's great.
Marcus Price out of LSU.
Oh, yeah. Offensive lineman.
Yep. And then Curtis Marsh, seventh round pick.
That's a nice draft. 219th
overall. It was a pretty.
That's a nice. Yeah. I mean, you think about all those guys and the careers they had with the Jags, even short term.
And what Rob Johnson turned into.
God, Rob. I mean, that's the greatest
right.
of.
Fred and Tavian both.
So think about this. Your first year draft, you get Fred Taylor and Tony Bocelli. In the not literally,
and,
but
and James
figurative.
Stewart and DeMarco and Schwartz.
I know.
Right? I mean,
I know.
Wow, that's
those were starters too, big time
good.
Players.
Where did the Midas touch go there, Tom? Huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. 96. You know what? I thought back then we drafted actually pretty well.
No, I'm saying. Like those for early drafts, look at the next
really
year.
Good. And even free agent pickups were just they were phenomenal.
Next year, your first five picks were Kevin Hardy.
Oh. Brack.
Tony Brack.
Oh.
Michael Cheever.
Oh,
right,
man.
Who, if he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, would have been great.
Aaron Beasley. And Reggie Barlow.
That is sick.
That is,
I mean, think about that. That's a heck of a draft.
Now, the back half.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Left a little to be desired. Jimmy Herndon.
Okay. Yeah, offensive lineman.
Okay, good. John Fisher.
Defensive back, special teamer. He played a little bit on special teams.
You know it's bad when – I mean, look, John Fisher, I feel like every once in a while I got to say this. All these guys, much greater athletes, much more accomplished
than me.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's all relative. John Fisher, when you're on the Pro Football Reference page, Tony, as you know, you can go through every team's draft class, and each player you can click on their name and read their page. John Fisher doesn't have a name that can be clicked. So – you know, if you don't have a name that can be clicked, that means you probably never appeared in a game. Chris Doering, the Gator wide receiver, didn't play here, but played like his birthday recently. He played like 6 years in the league.
Yep.
Then Clarence Jones. Remember Clarence Jones?
I don't.
Another wide receiver. And then Gregory Spann.
I don't remember those.
Another
two
wide
guys.
Receiver.
Back to back.
Back to back.
Wow.
Small school wide receivers, Tennessee State and Jackson State.
Okay.
But that first – I mean, look, when you knock it out of the park
the first four rounds,
picks, you're like, all right. You know,
I think – wouldn't you say overall, like when you look at your draft, if you hit the first four rounds, right, they become your their starter players. They're very good players. And then maybe you get lucky with a fifth, sixth, or seventh. That's what you're looking for, right?
If you're a good team and that it's hard to make your roster,
right?
If one guy in the fifth, sixth, seventh rounds turns out to be a guy who starts for you for a few years at any point, that's probably a pretty good pick.
It'd be cool trivia to look back on the seven, like the late round picks and how they like I always think of Bobby McCray. Remember Bobby McCray, the DN from Florida? They drafted him, I think, in the seventh or eighth round. I don't think there was 8 rounds then. And he had a monster year 1 year, then went to the Saints, I think, at a big deal. And then nothing ever happened
again.
He
had one of those years. I remember talking with a member of the Jags PR staff at the time about this, so I won't throw under the bus by name.
Yeah.
But he's like, bro, I mean, like every time a quarterback was laying on the ground to be touched, that was the year Bobby McCray had. Like, oh, boom, touch, you're down. Oh. That's a sack. You know, it's just like right place, right time.
He was a good player.
He was a good player. Okay. I mean, look, he had a 10-sack season, right? But – it wasn't like it was like wow. Like
he faded after that. I mean, I don't think he ever did anything with the Saints.
It was
the
opposite, Tony. We used to talk about no, he didn't with Jan. Right, he had that year where he got all this pressure.
Yep,
and didn't get the sacks. And there's a formula. It's like 40-something percent of your quarterback hits result in sacks.
Right.
You know, on the average. And I would say that season, I bet Bobby McCray's was way above that.
Wow.
You know,
that,
it was just like one of those things. And I remember him telling me somebody's going to throw money at him and it ain't going to be us. And and they're going to not pop in the tape or so. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, hey, good for him, man. I mean,
absolutely.
That's still a good season. You have one 10 sack season as a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
That's all right.
He's a good athlete, too. Big dude that could move.
We did a
10 sacks on 15 quarterback hits that year.
15. Yeah. That's
right. Wow.
The quarterback 15 times.
Yeah, that's 80%.
That's almost. we did a thing last year. We went through, every round. And Tony and I picked out
80 would be 120, so it'd have to be less than 80.
Right. Yeah. Two-thirds. we went through and we pulled out who we thought were the best pick by round for the Jaguars in every round. And we voted. And I know Bobby McCray was one of the options.
Had to be.
Yeah. Let me throw the seventh rounders at
McManus. Yeah, let's hear
it. And see what you come up with, all right? Yeah. We had Curtis Marsh.
Yep.
We had Clarence Jones and Gregory Spann, who you do not remember. we had John Hesse.
John Hesse, he was a linebacker.
Yes, he was.
From Nebraska.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he talked a lot. He
talked a lot, did he?
He would be like, shut up, rookie. Come on. just play the game.
That is awesome.
But he was a good kid. He was a good kid, but just talked to him.
Brandon Tolbert.
Oh, yeah. Who was running back?
Linebacker.
Linebacker.
Out of Georgia. Yeah. Didn't make
the team. Oh, yeah. Out of Tolbert.
Didn't make the team in 98. Along with Alvis Whitted.
Oh, yeah. Alvis. Yep. Alvis was on the team. Absolutely.
You had, in 99, you had Dee Morencola and Chris White. Do you remember?
I remember was it Dee Morencola that – there was a DB around that time that said he could run a 4.29 40. So he put up, like, these flyers that, hey, I can teach you how to run – a 4.29 40, and I remember Jimmy Smith walking up. I just happened to be there. Jimmy walks up, looks at the thing, rips it off the wall, goes, poof, throws it in the trash. Rookie.
Well,
shot
he was
up,
a like, DB. I don't know if Dee Morencola thought he was that fast.
Yeah,
but
no,
they,
it was somebody that was that thought they were like they could be. And Jimmy's like, get
4.29. His combine 40 was 4.46.
Did he put it up?
Maybe
in the
it wasn't.
Room?
There was a kid. Yeah, he put like these sheets of paper that he was the fastest DB in the league.
Like
or some
he was
going to
come in
stuff.
And train the professional Jaguar.
It was something like
room.
That, from what I remember.
That's crazy.
If any of my teammates are out there, I'd like to know clarification. You know, this brain doesn't work always that great. You know,
I remember when the
Casino
Super Bowl
and Goodfellas mixed up
was in New York or New Jersey, whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember going to an event early in the week. And seeing a flyer on a telephone pole of or whatever kind of pole of Trent Dilfer, like, hey, are you a quarterback? Do you need training?
Wow.
And it was one of those things, tear my number off the
right.
bottom,
no
you know, kind
kid.
Of thing. And
wow.
I thought, what a weird way for Trent Dilfer to be advertising this just on a random pole in Manhattan.
And he's kind of looked at now as a quarterback guy, right?
Yes.
Like he trains quarterbacks. Yeah, I guess.
We had
I'm gonna try that.
Wow, five seventh rounders in 2000.
Holy cow.
Eric Olson, Rob Meyer.
Oh,
one of the best
Rob was, no doubt.
Ever.
He's a beast. You know that guy, you know what? He skydives, him and his wife.
Do they?
He's a big guy. He's still a big dude. He's like, I ran into a guy, he's like, do you know that guy's got like thousands and thousands of minutes in the air? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, he skydives. I'm like, you know, I think he told me that because we stood next to each other
that's
one year.
That's interesting because there's a weight limit on skydiving.
Yeah. He's still, from what last time I saw him, he was still a big dude,
really?
200, 280 pounds.
Maybe there are exceptions to the rule. I remember looking it up because I wanted to do this back in the day. And I think he might be 240, something like that.
Maybe he lost a little bit. Supposedly he does a ton of skydiving.
Huh.
Yeah, him and his wife.
I'm almost
that's cool.
at the weight where I can skydive.
Wow.
I might do it. Honestly, yeah. I've always wanted to skydive.
I only want to skydive if I can land in water like they did in Point Break. That's cool.
I'm not a fan of jumping out of a perfectly good plane.
Yeah. what movie is
only
that?
If it's going down.
Oh, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm not a fan of that.
But that is a quote from a movie.
Oh, I don't know. I really
don't. Yeah, that is, from a perfectly good airplane.
Right.
Or something like that, yeah.
Something like that, right? A perfectly good
ADD.
Airplane.
Squirrel, what?
E.T.'s like, man, I can't even swim.
There we go.
Now I'm Mike Phelps, man. Come on, man.
I can't land in the water. So you had Eric Olson, Rob Meyer, Chiron Stith, Danny Clark.
Oh, Danny was great.
And Mark Banowitz. So Danny Clark and Rob Meyer both in the seventh round of the same draft.
Danny Clark was a great linebacker for this team.
All right, we got a break. Maybe I'll run a few more of the highlights by you. We'll hear a little bit more from Cassius Marsh. Did a Zoom press conference yesterday. Audio available at Jaguars.com, so check that out. One of the new Jaguar free agent signees this offseason. A little bit of a free and loose Friday if you want to be a part of it. We got a poll about the potential change, and we'll discuss this a little bit later on, to the onside kick rule in the National Football League, potentially replacing it with one opportunity to go for a 4th and 15 from the 25-yard line.
It's also Club 1010. I'm taking those requests, baby.
That's right. E.T. will spin the hits at your request. Hit him up at IME to the T. E.T.'s got his own airport story that we might share with you a little bit later.
Oh, that's an incredible
story.
That
is unbelievable. I think now we have to, now that we've hyped it like that. Yeah. So we have that coming up for you as well as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tommy Mack, and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Well, that was a little odd right there, right?
Yeah,
Coincidental nature of that little discussion about jumping out of airplanes. McManus says, I want to do it like Point Break, where they jump in the water.
They land in the lake.
Right.
Or reservoir or something.
Whatever.
Body of water.
Yeah, body of water. And so E.T.'s like, I'm not down with jumping out of a perfectly good airplane.
Right. And he's never seen the movie.
And this was the scene as they're all on the plane in the original Point Break.
Johnny, you're about to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. How do you feel about that?
That's where it came from. Now, there may be other variations
Of course.
But right there, you know, what are they talk about? This one's rigged for a neck breaker, right? Neck breaker. That was such a good movie.
I love that movie.
Really?
That's one night I wouldn't turn off. Like, if you're scrolling through.
Swayze's got some of those great you come by, you're like, oh.
Roadhouse was great. Roadhouse.
Next of Kin is on.
Next of Kin was really great.
Or Red Dawn, of course.
Oh, Red Dawn. The original Red Dawn. You know what? One of my favorite movies of all time with him in it is
Ghost.
No. No. Craig T. Nelson was the hockey coach. Youngblood. Rob Lowe was in it, and it was minor league hockey. You remember that?
Yeah,
Rob
Lowe was kind of a movie. I didn't see it.
Oh man, it's a great flick. Yeah, great.
In it too.
Yeah, Swayze's like the lead, you know, older hockey player on the team, and Rob Lowe's a young rookie who can score and skate, but he's a wimp. He doesn't like to fight, and then he has to go home and learn how to fight, and he comes back and he fights. It's a really There's more to it than that, but it's a really great flick.
Just describe like every 80s plot.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's a
fight.
Young guy, and he doesn't want to fight, and he goes home and he learns how to fight, and then he comes back and he fights.
He fights, and it stars Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze. Yes, of course it does.
I mean, what a plot.
There you go.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Gretzky didn't need to learn how to fight. He was one of the few. If you're good enough,
right.
If you're good enough, they'll fight for you.
You know, I hung out, true story, Lyndon Byers and I are friends. Lyndon was the enforcer for the Bruins for like 3 to 4 or 5 years while I was at Boston College. From Canadian. He was from...
Aren't you glad you tuned in today, folks?
Anyway, he would show up at BC. So I lived with older guys my sophomore year, and they became friends with him. And he'd come by, and next thing you know, he'd take me out. Like, we'd go out, and he knew I had no money. He'd pay for everything. We'd go drink. We'd go eat. We'd go just, you know, talk stories I'd bring my teammate. You know, just be a great – but he got paid $125K. This is 89, 90. And all he had to do was fight the other tough guy. That was his whole job. And he'd show up on camera. I'm not kidding. His nose would be bent 1 week, or he'd have a nasty gash, or he had a tooth missing. And every single time, I'd say, oh, man, LB, your face. He goes, oh, you should see the other guy, eh? I got him real good, Tommy Mac. I'm telling you, I got him real good.
He was making $125 a fight?
No, $125,000 just to be the enforcer for the Bruins a year.
Yeah, to be the guardian.
To be the goon. He was the goon. And he was unbelievable. He's got a radio gig up in Boston. He's a great dude, but he was – That's all he did was fight. And every time he showed up, he had a new something bashed on his
face. Yeah, you had to barely
he was a
just,
tough son
to
of a gun, man.
Able to basically make it across the rink on skates.
They have a there's a documentary on Netflix just called Ice Guardians. That's kind of about like it's about, you know, it's a documentary about the guys in hockey. That's what their job was.
Absolutely.
That role is kind of fading into the past. But
McSorley was for Gretzky, right? Yeah. Wasn't it McSorley? And wasn't he the one that smashed a guy with the stick and that kind of gave those enforcers a bad name.
I don't
remember.
He hit
him over the back of the head.
Somebody
with the stick.
Was it Marty McSorley?
I thought it was McSorley. It might have been with the Kings. But anyway,
That's
enforcers,
like, honestly,
baby.
Let's be
the best.
For guys like me, that's generally when I pay attention to hockey. When somebody gets
when
in trouble for slashing with a stick or something.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, you
know,
like, because they don't fight, I don't think, as much anymore as they used to.
Right.
I think they've toned it down a little bit. I think it's always going to be part of the the game. But,
Love hockey players.
Everyone's
so.
Oh, playoff hockey is great. It is. It's intense.
Is great,
if it's like third period and it's tied
Absolutely.
Up and every trip down the ice could be the the end of it. That's exciting. If you get a game seven overtime
Absolutely.
Hockey match. I mean, because like in basketball, you know you got a clock. The other team scores. You can come back and rain a three on them. But it's over in hockey, man. Very definitive. What do you got, Tony? Anything?
No, that's...
No.
I thought he was looking up McSorley. No,
yeah, I think it was McSorley.
Chuckling over there at something.
Damn stick. But hockey players are great. I love them.
I'm glad you do.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a general rule, they're great. Ladies love the hockey players.
Rugby, hockey, like, you know,
a lot of
supermodels
are into
like
the hockey guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
They figure you only need one pretty one in the
They can take
the
their teeth out, you know, when we're getting intimate. No big deal.
Hey,
you know,
now,
take the
let's
out.
Not get any more specific than that. you had an airport story that we wanted to share with folks.
Yeah, this one's
This all ties into our National Football League focus, which we're very heavy on today.
It does.
It does.
It comes around.
So some of my buddies are pretty well off, so they like to take random trips. So Cliff calls me, like, on a Thursday.
Cliff Averill.
He's like, hey, let's go to Vegas this weekend. I'm like, no, I got a job, and I can't just take off. So anyways, they're going to Vegas. They're in the airport. They go through security, you know, just like everybody else. They're going through security. And Marshawn calls them. He's like, hey, man, where y'all at? Cliff was with Mike Bennett. He's like, man, where y'all at? He's like, man, we're going to Vegas, man. Meet us there. He's like, all right, cool, I'll meet y'all there. So Marshawn gets to the airport, gets through security with no ID, no passport, no nothing. Cliff and everybody, they're sitting on the plane, and all they can hear is the agent saying, shh. Stand by, one, don't pull out. Marshawn Lynch is here. Marshawn Lynch is about to board the plane.
This is obviously in Seattle where they're flying out of.
Obviously.
Right.
Yeah. With no ID, no passport, no nothing. This man just
this face is my passport right
here.
And they let him on.
They let him on. Sure enough, he was in Vegas with
Which is crazy.
That is, especially
today. In today's day and age.
Goodness,
I mean, could you imagine you just show up nothing? Who doesn't have an ID, by the way?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
I got 10G in cash, but I don't have my license.
I need to know how you are properly protecting your mentals and your chicken with no ID.
That's
no ID.
Right. That's
how
right.
do you know it's your chicken?
He probably just didn't have it on him, but whatever.
Man. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I get it. You know, I mean, sometimes you forget at the house, but when you're going to the airport.
No, right.
I'll just show up.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch.
Did he have cash? Did he have something?
I don't know what he had.
Did he pay for a ticket or they just hold the door?
Actually, I don't think he had a ticket.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
wow, that's big time.
I just wanted to get on that plane.
That's a big shot.
They told me to meet him at the airport. What do you want me to do?
Wow.
Like, plan?
Hey, you got a ticket? Nah.
No.
Don't you see the dreads in the face, man? You don't know who I am?
And it worked.
What's wrong with you?
That's kind of crazy.
I love that guy. His interview at the Super Bowl that one year was one of the best I've ever heard, where he's like, I want to give a shout out to these. I mean, it was just classic. And that run, I forget who he did it against, and I think it was when he was with Seattle. Well, he was just tossing.
Oh,
that
was the Saints. Beastquake.
Beastquake won. It was against the Saints.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Best run in NFL history.
I couldn't have met. Yeah, I agree.
I really think it's
the best run in NFL history. I think you're right. Marcus Allen in the Super Bowl might be number two, where he had to go back.
It's phenomenal.
And take off.
Great run as well. But, I mean, Marshawn
Riggins
threw like seven guys off of it.
I know.
On that run. You know where I'm headed right now. I'm going to YouTube, man. I'm going to go watch Beastquake 1.
Porter, the cornerback who got the very last.
Is that who got it?
Yeah, 22. He got the last.
Shemaya.
Yeah, that's when they had a
toss him out of the club.
Right? They're 7-9 that year, right?
Yeah, that was they were hosting the playoff game, winning the division at 7-9.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
With New Orleans coming across country. Porter wound up, he bounced back all right. Got a pick six to seal a
did.
Super Bowl, basically.
That's right, against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe, or
did he have – he got that before, because I think the Saints were the defending champs in that game. That might have been. I think they were the defending champs, but because Seattle won their division, they had to travel to Seattle, I think, as a wild card the next year.
Oh, okay.
I think is how it went down. So
I was thinking of Clowney. Your guys' poll, was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Who won?
We who got Larry the most Warford vote? Got the most votes. Clowney got second. Who would you voted for?
It was Warford, it was Clowney, and
Cam
who are
Newton
the other two?
And Logan Ryan, the corner.
I'd go with Warford, but I'd love all three of them. Not Cam, obviously.
They're
not going to go that route. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with your take on Logan Ryan. He's a really good DB, and he would help this team. Of course, Clowney. You know, I think with Clowney, if you've got Jan, you don't need Clowney.
That's why I voted for Warford. Yeah, like if you had been able to trade Jan at some point, even drafting Chase on, I would sign Clowney in a heartbeat.
Right.
He'd do $10 million for a year. I'm not saying he would, but that was the hypothetical.
But Warford, to me, that's an upgrade to your offensive line right away.
I think so, too. And which,
bruising.
You tell us, like, I made the assumption that if you put in a right guard who now all of a sudden is better by a significant factor than the guy that he's replacing, doesn't that make the center and the right tackle that much better? Because they don't
absolutely.
Have to worry about it. Right.
Right?
If you're the right tackle, your inside's covered.
Right. So, I mean, look, the left the tackles always need their guards, right? I mean, the center needs the guard too, right? So, you know, look, your left tackle, you leave out on an island a lot, you know, but that guard's got to be ready if there's any kind of, you know, inside game or, you know, cross or whatever between the end and the tight end. But no, I agree with you. Look, the thing that's crazy, I know everyone says AJ Khan, but doesn't Logman like say he's like one of the, he grades out one of the highest? Didn't he have a good year last year, a couple years?
I think he was, the word out of the building is he was solid last year.
Yeah,
I don't think spectacular. I mean, they did draft Ben Bartsch, and they're putting him in right guard to compete with him.
Okay.
You know, you can always upgrade. It's
no doubt.
Like, I mean, AJ Khan's got a what did he sign, Tony? Like a 3-year deal?
Yeah.
It's 3-year, $15
million.
15,
yeah, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was 5 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not cheap, but it's not anywhere near top of the market money.
And look, you know, Norwell, he's got a, you know, we need to have a bruising offensive line. And Warford would make you get closer
to
that without
a
doubt.
He's only 28 years old, too.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. Yeah. Yeah. He's
made the last three Pro Bowls.
Yep.
And if you went that route, I mean, I'm not running AJ Khan out of town, but if you needed the cap space, you can release him. You'd save the cash you would have paid him.
Right.
Apply that to Warford, and you'd save $2.5 million against the cap. There'd still be a dead cap hit.
Yep.
But it'd still be a $2.5 million savings. They've got enough money to make a run at him. Now, I don't know what Warford's looking for. He may be like, hey, I'm going to try to hook on with a contender in training camp.
Yeah.
You know, and let's be honest, most people are not going to look at the Jags as a contender. I saw the story yesterday that Vegas has them at 4.5 wins now that all the dust is settled.
4.5?
Lowest total of any team in
the I'm taking
the
over on that.
League.
I would take the over right now on that.
I mean, we went through the schedule couple weeks ago, and I had him at 6-10. I don't feel confident putting my money on it, though, honestly, because we've been in this position, Tone, how many times in the last 10 years where Vegas puts out the number, like, what are they thinking? Like,
they're normally right.
It's going to be over, and it almost never has gone over in that period of time. So,
please, not a 4-12 year, my gosh.
Look, not a 4-12 year, because if you're that, it a 2-14 year.
Well,
and make sure
you
get the
might as well just stink it up even worse.
4-12 might be the worst. Oh my gosh, that'd be because you're terrible,
right?
But you're probably not getting Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields.
Yeah, right.
You know, probably a couple of 3-13s in there.
Bummer.
So yeah, would be a bummer.
That's all right. It's Friday.
Hit the
Memorial
over.
Day weekend.
Hit the over.
We'll worry about the Jags later.
You got Money Mike in town.
I got Uncle Mike in town, the boys, Matthew and MJ. Hey, boys, I know you're listening. Great kids. They're my Harley's age right around. So check this out. They flew in from Indianapolis, right? They've been quarantined. They've been self-quarantined in their house. Mm-hmm. The boys haven't left the house for the most part, other than not being outside, you know, from time to time. And then yesterday, we're in the ocean. They flew in yesterday morning. And we're in the ocean, and the waves have been incredible. I mean, and I'm not a surfer, but like body surfing, and the kids love jump, but they won't go out there without, you know, adults, because the current's really strong, and that we went out there and had a blast. So I'm just sitting there going, can you imagine these kids? They just came from wet and cold Indianapolis inside a home to playing on the beach, man, in the great state of Florida. So, yeah, we're, you know, when Uncle Mike and I get together, we're only 17 months apart. He's 16 months apart. He's older than me by that much. And so, like, when, you know, we were a year apart in grades, I always looked up to him, but we've always had a blast. I mean, we started yesterday. It's like we're back in high school, man. It's the best. We laugh and we laugh and we laugh, and we have fun with the family, and they love hearing our stories and talking, and it's just great, man. Great, great. He is he's a fantastic. You know Mike.
I've been around Mike a lot. That's why I brought him up.
He's one of the fun ones to go have fun with.
Shout out to Money Mike.
Money Mike.
I live vicariously through both of you over the years. So.
We had some fun at Super Bowl.
I'm just an old man looking to buy an RV all I am.
I'm with you, man.
The only reason I joined the gym is for the bathroom facilities. Kidding me? All right. We will return. We will hear more from Cassius Marsh, by the way. He had more to say other than the fact that, hey, it's cool to play for
right.
My dad's former team. We'll take a look at the William Hill Sportsbook totals. They do have the Jags at a 4.5 win total, the lowest in the National Football League. So we'll look at some of the other teams that'll be contenders, at least according to William Hill, for the top pick and thus the perhaps Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Coming up, though, we've got this date in football. We've got the drive around the NFL. You're welcome to get on board at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, a couple of odds and ends for this date in football history. May the 22nd, we already mentioned it, but back in 1991 on this date, NFL owners got together and voted and agreed to add two teams to the league. Originally scheduled to join in 1994, it was pushed back a year. One of those teams, of course, became your Jacksonville Jaguars along with the Carolina Panthers. Birthdays for this date include Marcus Dupree. Oftentimes on Marcus's birthday, we do a what could have been type show, like who's the athlete that you thought would turn out to dominate. Marcus Dupree was a man among boys in college, and then he went to the USFL. He did play a little bit in the National Football League. Injuries really derailed him. So fast at such a big size, it was almost hard to believe the package of athletic gifts that had been put together there.
Yeah,
I know he was living in Jacksonville for a while. Don't know if he's still here or not.
Really?
Yeah, so he may be listening right now. I think he was driving a truck or owned a truck driving company or something like that. So, Marcus Dupree, if you're out there, happy 56th to you. Happy 48th to your former teammate.
Ah.
The original Money Mike. Money Mike Hollis.
Hollis. All right,
born on this date with the Jags from 1995 to 2001. Was a Pro Bowler in 1997.
How old is he?
48 years
old. Oh, okay.
For Mike Hollis. Julian Edelman, born on this date in 1986. Mm-hmm. Let's go around the table. Tony Smith, how many Pro Bowl appearances for Julian Edelman?
One.
Tony had the cocked eyebrow. He goes with one. E.T.
Two.
Two, he says.
Three.
Zero.
Yeah.
Really?
Julian Edelman has never been to a Pro Bowl. Now, people look and they say that position produces ridiculous numbers in the Patriots offense.
If only we chose the Pro Bowlers after the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. Because that'd be MVP. at least he would have been 1 year, maybe. All right. So Julian Edelman, 34 years old today. And even though no Pro Bowl, certainly noteworthy. And another former Jaguar, Sergio Brown, born on this date in 1988, only 32 years young. And Sergio hasn't been in the league for a few years now. He started four of the 15 games he played at safety for the Jaguars in 2015 and was noted for his Ric Flair impersonation. Probably only noted for his Ric Flair impersonation, to be quite honest with you. Do we have that audio clip in there?
I probably can dig it up.
All right, see if we can dig up some Sergio Brown hyping folks up. So Marcus Dupree, Mike Hollis, Julian Edelman, Sergio Brown, and if it's your birthday, happy birthday to you as well.
That's right.
That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Seattle Seahawks are looking at some free agent options at running back, with Chris Carson and Rashad Penny both ending their season last year on injured reserve. Seattle reportedly made a one-year offer to running back Devonta Freeman. yesterday and are reportedly looking into Carlos Hyde as well. A few weeks ago, there was a story that Marshawn Lynch was at least open to the idea of returning for one more season and that his representation was discussing it with the Seattle Seahawks, so we'll see what they wind up doing at running back. If anything, the negotiations...
Hey, if they need him, he'll just hop on a plane. He'll be there
anytime.
No time.
Just invite him. He can get anywhere he needs to go. The negotiations between the New York Jets and safety Jamal Adams have reportedly hit an impasse again. Adams wants to get the deal done before this year. The Jets would like to reportedly wait until after the season. There was apparently some discussion of a trade during the negotiations, but no one is sure how serious those discussions might have been. Atlanta has agreed to terms on a one-year deal with linebacker Deon Buchanan. Linebacker Anthony Ciccolo has agreed to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and though it's not NFL news, the passing of Jerry Sloan this morning at 78 years old, the former Utah Jazz coach, due to complications arising from Parkinson's disease.
All right. Rest in peace, Jerry Sloan. His daughter, Holly, went to a Flagler College with me, at least for 1 year back then. She might have only gone for a semester, but she was at Flagler. When would that have been? Maybe my sophomore year. She was a freshman, something like that.
Yeah.
At Christmas 1 year, she brought me back. She must have been there for two semesters because she went home and brought me back a Utah Jazz pennant. Signed by everybody on the team but Karl Malone.
Oh.
Like the mailman wasn't there that day. But like Stockton, all those guys. Yeah. I remember. I didn't take good enough care of it. It was signed with like a marker. Yeah. You know, I don't know what you would have had to do to keep one of those felt pennants.
Right.
Signed
right.
by a marker, pristine. Probably put it under glass right away.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Right.
So just recently, probably in the last couple of years, I finally, in a semi-clean out of the garage, let it go.
You know, when you were talking about Marcus Dupree, it got me thinking, like, it's amazing how many big-name players went to the USFL.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think that could ever happen again, right? Could it?
I mean, you had Herschel Walker, you had Jim Kelly, you had Steve Young, you had Reggie White, you had Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
You had a few guys, like, who had established themselves, like Brian Sipe.
Sure.
In the NFL.
Sam Rogers was there. Remember the running back?
Bunch of guys. Bart and Brad Oates, I think, were both. They're two. You know, who are those guys? They're multi-Pro Bowl offensive linemen eventually in the National Football
League. It only lasted 3 years, though, right? The USFL?
Yes, 3 years.
Has there ever been a documentary? I'd love to see something like that, beginning to the end.
Did ESPN do one?
30 for 30.
Somebody had
one. I'm not sure. But, I mean, with the money that's in the NFL now, no.
No way.
No one's going to be able to compete with them. I mean, if they're able to pay guys $15 million a year, the minimum guys are getting $1 million.
Right.
The odds of you starting another football league where it's like you can compete salary-wise to get those types of athletes, super low.
Wow.
Yeah. You see Vince McMahon, they say, is trying to buy the XFL out of bankruptcy. Like, he's putting it into bankruptcy, then he wants to purchase for a lower price. I know, that seems kind of shady.
It's wrestling business.
True.
You know, it's a little shady.
It's a shady business.
Playing the heel. When it's time to unveil the XFL again, he'll go face again. He'll be like, I'm bringing you the XFL.
Right. The XFL X3.
Yeah, right. Third time's a charm.
Meanwhile, Oliver Luck will be like, pay me my money.
Yeah.
He got fired. He had a big contract with him.
He did. Yeah, they're fighting over that, right?
Like $4 million left on that deal. And they said they basically fired him for cause. One of the things they said, he went home at the start of the pandemic and abdicated his leadership role or something like that. I don't know.
I was in the first XFL draft.
I know you were.
What a great
one
thing.
Practice. Is that what it was?
Yeah, one.
One practice.
Like, see you later.
By the way, thinking of that, remember you had the comeback, right? With the Jack Del Rio thing. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Tony and I were talking about this the other day. We're talking about looking at Jack Del Rio's record, and don't you long for the days when you had that kind of like when you had a 500 club consistently? Yep. And so we're like, man, I wonder if Jack will ever be a head coach again. And, you know, that TV money's pretty good. Then the next day, and I forgot to mention it yesterday, I was reading, guys in Washington are adapting to Jack Del Rio as the new defensive coordinator. I'm like, Oh, yeah.
He did
get hired as their defensive coordinator. Yeah. Like,
he's a great D coordinator.
Right over my head.
He's always had a lot of success.
It was Landon Collins was talking about how impressed he was with Del Rio and some of the meetings that they've had, virtually, I'm sure.
I always liked Jack. You know, I mean, we had our thing, but he's a good dude. I saw him last season. He looked great, man. He's great shape.
He's a good dude.
He is a good dude.
I give Jack a lot of, like, a lot. We don't get much cachet at the Super Bowl being a Jacksonville media outlet, right? I mean, they're like, it's always like, hey, can we get on? Who are you with? What market are you from?
Right.
Oh, we'll get back to you. No, you won't. Like, just don't lie to me, right?
It's always that little smug little son of a, you know what, that says, that has that job.
But back in 2008, when the Giants were going to play the Patriots after the undefeated season, and Coughlin walked in to Radio Row. They used to have the NFL Network set right in the middle of Radio Row. You might have been at that one, right? I don't know if you were or not. The one in Arizona?
No, I didn't go to Arizona.
It's the one in Arizona, and Tom Coughlin walks in, and, you know, I mean, they've got security with him, you know, like this is part of the schedule of Super Bowl. We're bringing in the coaches, boom, right to the NFL Network set, turn around, right back off, and whisk him out of the building, right?
Yeah.
And Coughlin spotted me, and he deviated from the flight path, and he came out, and they're like freaking out. Don't try to touch the coach. I'm like, oh, he's sticking his hand out to shake my hand. I'm going to shake the coach's hand. And so that was really nice. A cough when everyone's looking at me like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, he didn't have the time to come on. And then Del Rio, when he was the defensive coordinator with Denver, when they were playing up in New York, they had, where was it, at the Barclays Center, Tony, that they did media night, you know, where the Nets play basketball.
Yep.
And it was a weird setup because usually the guys are all, like, roaming the floor, right? This year, it was the first time they ever did it in a basketball arena or venue. So it was a little more closely confined, and all the players and coaches were behind a railing. And so – but once you found your spot on the railing, you could kind of box out a little bit. And Jack was so good to me, you know, because you only have an hour.
Right.
And you've got 3,000 people trying to talk to him. And for 5 minutes, he wouldn't look at anybody else. He just let me ask whatever I wanted to. And you know, and you knew. And he just kind of gave me, like, the nod, like, you know, you get very few perks in the national scene working in Jacksonville, but there's one of them.
Yeah,
right,
no doubt.
So I appreciated Jack doing
that. No, he's great. He's a great D coordinator too, man. I mean, it's going to be interesting, him and Rivera up in Washington. You know, obviously they got to have all the talent, but he always puts together good defense. I mean, he's normally top five. I mean, he has been. I mean, Carolina was phenomenal.
And we looked at his track record. It's not that terrible, man.
No, even
in Oakland, his 3 years, he had a 12-4 season with the Raiders.
That's
You know, I mean, he had like four bad years, but that was like out of a dozen, Tony, right, or more. I mean, pretty solid NFL head coach.
Absolutely. So, without a doubt.
All right, let's come back on the other side. I've got the William Hill Sportsbook season totals, the over-under projected, what you can bet on. Like, what's the line for every team? We already told you the Jaguars come in with the lowest total at 4.5. We'll see who's even in the ballpark. Who's the contender, according to the William Hill Sportsbook, with the Jaguars for the first pick in the draft next year? We'll hear a little bit more from Cassius Marsh as well. A couple of things out there for you on Twitter this morning. One of them is asking you if you approve of the proposal to replace onside kicks with a 4th-and-15 opportunity from your own 25-yard line. We'll discuss that a little bit as well. And then the bonus question today, how are you planning on spending Memorial Day in the age of social distancing? Maybe nothing changes for you. Maybe it does. So let's hear what your plans are for the 3-day weekend coming up. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Rolex wear.
Woo!
Diamond ring wear.
Woo!
Kick stealing.
Woo!
Wheeling dealing.
Woo!
Limousine ride.
Woo!
Jet fly.
Woo!
Son of a gun.
Woo!
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Give
me two claps and a Ric Flair.
There you go, Sergio.
Wow. I never heard that before.
No?
I don't even remember the guy. Who was that?
Well, there you go. I was going to say that's what he's best known for, probably.
Sergio Brown?
Sergio Brown.
Yes. Played DB.
How excited were we when they signed Sergio Brown? We just were just hungry for anything back then, man. honestly were like, oh, Sergio Brown is. And I get it. It's enthusiasm, man. It's sports every year in the offseason. Everyone has a great offseason. I saw somebody on Twitter ask yesterday which team is being underhyped the most this offseason. And someone replied, what are you talking about? None. They're all over. Everyone's overhyped in the offseason.
Except the Jags when it comes to Vegas.
Except when the Williamville Sportsbook enters into the equation. Let's get to just some numbers here. I'll give you everybody under 7 wins.
Okay.
Okay? It's a short list, I think. Let's see. I'll give you the ones that stand out. Ravens are at 11.5. That's the high so far that I'm seeing. Carolina's at 5.5. This is projected win totals that you could bet on the over-under in Vegas for the upcoming season.
Okay.
Let's see. The Bengals are at 5.5 as well. Dallas is at 9.5.
We're worse than the Bengals.
Lower
than the Bengals.
Jags are lower than everybody.
God.
All of them. Let's see. 6.5 for the Lions is the over-under total there.
For the Lions?
6.5 for the Lions, yep. Stafford, if you assume he stays healthy for the full season. Yep. You got the Jags at 4.5, as we mentioned. Kansas City's at 11.5. Let's see, a couple 7.5.
What did New England drop to? Just curious.
Miami's at 6. I'll give you New England in a second.
Okay.
The Saints are at 10.5.
Ooh.
Looking at the double digits. Jets are at 6.5. So they're in range. What do they give you for New England? New England's at 9. So you can bet head to head, by the way, Tampa versus New England. That's a popular one with the Brady
thing. Wow.
I think the Bucs are favored, I believe, in that. Let me see what the Bucs are at. 9.5. So, yeah, you're right. Just a smidge higher. Washington, 5.5. Let me go division teams with the Jags. Tennessee Titans at 8.5. Scrolling. Indy's at 9.
Yeah.
And Houston is at 8. So, Indy, Tennessee, Houston is what they're projecting at the top of the division and the Jaguars.
Well, we're going to come in under the radar and start kicking somebody's ass, and then we'll be all right.
Just carry a pen, boys.
Come on, Gardner.
It'll be fun.
I saw Gardner's video. He's throwing the ball. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Which one? Like the minute-long one?
I don't know. He was dropping back, throwing.
Quick stuff, right?
Yeah. His arm looked good.
He looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, it's a highlight.
I know, but the arm looked good.
I'm telling you, the arm looked really good. Like, he was pushing it out there with some good velocity, pinpoint, spinning it.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point, like, I watched that, and I'm like, I'm not watching this. I'm going to have him at 9 wins pretty soon.
Not just that. I like the drill we had to do 2 passes. That second one's very challenging,
and then
they
flip him the ball, and he immediately has to, like, flip his hips back in position and hit throw the same guy in stride.
And there's no, like, time in between. It's like, boom, boom.
Imagine there's a crossing pattern, and the receiver is going left to right. Now he's like, 20 feet out to your right. You throw that first ball, and someone standing there next to you flips you a ball. You got to catch it, cock your body in position,
whip it again.
And he's hitting him again, like 15 feet. The guy's
further
running.
Further away.
It's like the gauntlet drill. He catches it. He throws the ball to the ground. Yep. By the time he does that, Gardner's got another one on his fingertips.
And it's farther away.
Yeah, it's a tougher throw. He's got to adjust.
And there was no in his motion from getting that second ball to throwing. It was like – fluid. I mean, that's
the one
a good
that looked
thing.
Cool to me was he was doing them where he was sprinting full speed
towards the line, of scrimmage.
Stopping right at the line, and then rifling the ball downfield.
Yeah.
You know, because imagine how dangerous that can make you. He's a guy, somebody that had the graphic going around. Don't sleep on Gardner Minshew's scrambling ability.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson scrambled for like 450 yards. Gardner scrambled for like 350 yards. And they're saying, hey, don't sleep on this guy. Now, of course, Lamar Jackson had a lot of design runs that put him over 1,000 as well. But, you got guys, are they coming up because they know you can tuck it and run? And if they're coming up and you're throwing it over their heads, or are they, I tell you, for like a less than a minute hype video of him throwing.
Yeah, he looked good. He looked like he got a little bit bigger. He's been working out.
I'll tell you, I watch it like 5 times in a row. I'm like, damn, am I reading too much into that? He is zipping that thing around.
Which
out
is,
there.
Look, again, year one to year two, he should have a ton of confidence. Obviously, it's his team.
No doubt. But even on some of the stuff he threw, like, he was successful throwing the ball downfield.
He was, big time. Yeah, he saw the stats on downfield throws.
More like, Tom, like, placement. You know, like, he was just putting – this video, I was like, I mean, he's really just like pumping it in,
slinging
there. Like small window throw type stuff, you know? Like, and these weren't all 40 yards downfield or anything, but a lot of, you know,
That second throw when he's going away from him is about 30 or 40.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. He's slung. Yeah, like a deep out, exactly. Yeah. Throwing it from the other hash.
Let's say hello to FanCam, who's always going to check in when Tommy Mack is around.
My man.
Good morning, FanCam.
Good morning, guys. I was just put together a 5-tier dehydrator of homemade beef jerky, and I thought of you guys, so I wanted to call in and say hi.
Do I need to swing by on the way home? Is that what you're saying? Well, it's not going to be ready that quickly.
If you want to drop a gap wedge to about 3 feet and have some beef jerky anytime.
I tell you what, based on the way I hit it on the range, I could drop a gap wedge to 3 feet, but the problem is I'd take it out on the course and I would sling it 30 yards out to the right. So I'm the king of the driving range right now, Cam.
Now that I think about it, the elevated island green is really tough on those Texas wedge shots.
Look, that's my rule. If I could putt it and get it on the green, your boy's pulling out the putter.
Yeah, right,
that's
we'll build a ramp for you.
Absolutely.
Well, I wanted to reiterate Tommy's comments. This has been one of the most beautiful springs that I can recall. It's quite a juxtaposition with the stuff going on with the virus, but this is great weather. And we bent the curve. The hospitals are not overburdened by any means. So let's hope our community can enjoy a great Memorial Day weekend and take advantage of the wonderful weather we have.
Right on, brother. Bank camp, be safe, man.
One other thing.
Yeah.
I would go long the 4.5, and I'd short the Bengals at 5.5. I must be missing something. Fournette was in the top 5 in yards from line of scrimmage of running backs. We just got one of the best pass-catching backs in the league the last few years. So Fournette will be fresh around the goal line at the end of the game. We've got an all-pro receiver, an all-pro tight end, the best rookie quarterback in the league, and a line that's played together now 3 years. I think this could be a quite exciting offense, and I'll let you guys chew on that. Have a great weekend.
You too, but I will say FanCam is a perennial optimist. He is, though.
But it's going to come down to – I mean, it's going to come down to all of them. But Gardner's, you know, he's going to have to, you know – perform at a very high level.
You know, but when you talk about Eifert and his accolades, those came a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The line's been together for a few years, but does it make them better than they are?
Someone out of that tight end position's got to evolve to be the go-to guy. You know what I mean? Whether it's Oliver, whether it's him, whoever it is, we need a tight end that you can count on.
I think all the things he listed are true to some, like, but the odds of them all happening, like, hey, maybe the offensive line does coalesce a little bit better this year. Do they stay healthy? And if they do, maybe they're better than we think they're going to be. But at the same time, if they do that, maybe Eifert doesn't stay healthy, which has been his track record most of his career. Or maybe Eifert has that kind of year, but maybe you get a couple injuries on the offensive line, or player X doesn't take the big step up. You know, I just think there's a lot of, you know, if this happens and this happens and this happens, there's potential for all these things to happen. The likelihood of all of them happening, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
well,
super
you know,
high.
With the offense on, there's some truth to that. Playing together, you should get, you know, better, right? Because you're just used to playing with one another. I think one of the things that we don't, you know, or not we here, but just in general, people, you know, you think about an offensive lineman. Like, let's just take Norwell. Norwell comes from Carolina with Cam Newton as a quarterback, and they kind of run that RPO style, right? And maybe that's not the correct terminology, but it's not a
– No, there was a lot of RPO
It's not a, you know, pound the rock, then play action pass, right? So you didn't really have to be a road grader as a guard. Still had a great year, right, for Carolina that last year especially. Then he comes here, and we want to be this power-rushing football team with play action pass, and maybe that's not his game. You know what I'm saying? So what's going to be interesting is Gruden – knowing what he has at the offensive line and what kind of offense he's going to run that is best suited for the talent on that offensive line. That's like when you say, look, if we are a power running game, and we do have a power running back with Leonard Fournette, and I think Chris Thompson's going to be great, great addition. I think he's going to be great. But if that's the offense that we are going to have, a run pounding, play action pass, take your shots, then you need Warford. You know, you need to upgrade that beef.
That type of guy.
You do. You need a road grader, man. You need someone to move people out of the way. You know, you don't have to move them always that far, but you do have to move them. You can't just hit them and go nowhere. You know what I mean? You got to turn them. You got to move them. You got to get them on their heels. Whatever you got to do, you got to move that person out of the way. It could be 6 inches. It could be you drill them into the ground 3 yards down the field. I don't care. But you got to have – if that's the offense we're playing, then you got to have that. If it's not, then the guy's intact. I don't know. Maybe we run more of a with Gardner at quarterback, right? Is Gardner a drop back in the pocket? At times he can be, but what else is he? He could throw on the run. He can make things happen. You can call half rolls. You know, you can call certain, you know, types of plays that help that offensive line out, right? And help your quarterback out. We've talked about this before. It drove me nuts, you know. And I don't care about Foles. I wish him the best. I hope he does great up in Chicago. But when he came back, you try to make him into something he's not, and your line ain't holding up, and he's getting killed. You know, it's like, why didn't you get the ball out quicker? You know, why didn't you call quicker throws? Why don't you help your old line out? It's like that tackle that keeps getting his butt kicked, and you don't help him. You don't throw a tight end over there. You don't throw a back over there. You're like, what are you doing? You got to help the – hey, man, maybe he's just having a bad day, and that guy's better than him. Well, what do? You gang up on him, and you put a tight end in that can help contain that guy so your guy's not getting his ass kicked every time they go at it, you know? So I'm looking forward to seeing what Gruden, as the offensive coordinator, what he's going to do with Gardner. And I got to imagine he's going to play to his strengths. And, you know, you add Chris Thompson. I like the wide receiving core. Tight end's got to merge. And, look, based on what we play, maybe that offensive line is okay as is.
I got him at 13-3 now.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to have to say that. Check my optimism.
8-8. I'd be happy with 8-8, man.
All right. When we return, a little bit from Cassius Marsh, we'll go over the onside kick replacement proposal a little bit, our thoughts on that, and close things out with our own Memorial Day weekend plans. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and Emmanuel Thaloran, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
My time with Miles was great, man. He was a super humble young guy, came in and contributed in a huge way. I loved his work ethic, his athleticism, and his versatility was obviously great. And I loved the kid, and I've been super happy to see his success since coming to the Jaguars.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
So Cassius Marsh, who is 27 years old. First of all, Jack is the kid. You know, I love the kid. Not that much older than him, barely older than him. He'll be 28 in July. He's a versatile piece, you know.
You know, look, I remember seeing him with Seattle. He was number 91. I didn't know who he was, right? I remember seeing the last name Marsh. He would make plays. He made plays for New England, too. I don't remember him or watching him with Arizona, but, hey, man, you never know. Look, he's still a young guy in the prime of his life, you know, athletically. And
best season was 2018. He had 5.5 sacks with the 49ers. Last year, only 2.5 coming off the bench. Played in all 16 games.
Is he a pass rusher? I mean, is that his forte? He's playing Sam, so he's got to be able to.
He's got 14 sacks in 6 years.
Okay.
That's probably kind of like a situational pass rusher, uh-huh. I think, is what you look at. Well, let's ask Cassius Marsh. Audio courtesy of Jaguars.com as he spoke with the media yesterday. How does he see his fit in Jacksonville's defense?
I'll be playing to Sam and work my hardest to compete and hopefully earn a starting job. And bring my best every day. You know, I think it's a great opportunity and it's a great defense, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
He's going to play some regardless.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, but I would think most Jaguar fans are hoping Caleb Chaisson wins that strong side spot, assuming Yannick Ngakoue shows up to play football.
Right.
You can get all that pass rush on the field at the same time.
No doubt. Also, Marsh was asked about just what are they getting in Marsh coming here to Jacksonville.
You know, I've been able to play the 3-4 outside linebacker, play straight defensive end, rush on the inside, and I'll just try and bring all of that to the Jaguars and do whatever the coaches need me to do.
And last one here, just a quick thought on his impressions of virtually being around Caleb Chaisson in some of these virtual team meetings.
He seems real focused. He's not saying too much, and nothing that comes out of his mouth is a waste of words. So he's only been in a couple of meetings because he just got drafted not too long ago. But from what I've experienced, he's a mature young man, and I look forward to getting to know him better.
Now, you could call him a kid because he's 20. You can get away with that, I think.
So. Yeah. Who was he talking about before? I didn't catch
Miles Jack.
Oh, okay.
Right. They were college teammates. They're not
right
separated by that Right, much
right,
here.
Right, right.
Good to see the kid.
Yeah.
He is older than him, so you've got that going.
I'm looking forward to seeing Miles at Will this year. I think that's going to be a good move for him. I really do. I think that's going to play into his strengths.
Hope that's the case.
I do.
We've got a minute. Let's talk about this proposed rule change that's going down. Let's see where we're at on today's poll question.
Can I ask a question about
it? Please.
Is it a safe – what do we – I mean, why not just – if it's a safety thing, take it out. And then maybe just do what they're proposing. I mean,
they want a way for teams to be able to still come back when they're trailing by multiple scores in the fourth quarter to keep that end game excitement. Instead of going, oh, they're up by 10, click, I'm going to turn this one off.
They changed the rule a couple of years ago with everybody had to be within a yard of the line of scrimmage basically on a kick. So you didn't get the run.
Right.
And you can't used to get on the onside.
Right.
You had to split them up on both sides. That was a safety thing. Well, their conversion rate on onside kicks went from around 21 to 24% basically every year to between 6 and 8.
Wow.
So basically it's like you're not getting onside kicks anymore. So teams that are – that moment is gone from the game essentially. So I think they're trying to bring it back without bringing back that play because they're trying to limit special teams plays as much as they possibly can with these guys full speed colliding with one another.
Yeah, I mean, look, onside kicks, they helped us out quite a bit from what I remember in the 90s. I mean, we needed those to convert. I was always a lot of times I was on it. I wasn't the guy going for the ball. I was the guy to smash whoever was in my way, which I really enjoyed.
Wedge buster.
Yeah, I guess you'd call it that, you know, but
smash guy.
So let me so what's more daunting to accomplish, an onside kick or a 4th and 15?
Now it's an onside kick, much more daunting. Much
harder.
To convert an onside.
So 4th and 15 is converted. I mean, they were talking about it on the drill. I think I heard it like
31?
Yeah, somewhere in there. It's like 26 to 30%.
Okay. So then if you miss an onside kick, you get the ball where you kicked it off
where you recovered it.
So that's probably around the 30, 35, 35, right?
Well, they're kicking off from the 35.
Okay, so that's the 45.
Are they kicking off from the 35 or the 30?
God, 35,
we do this every year. I think it is the 35, right? Yeah. So you kicking off from the 35, so let's say they're recovered.
45.
It goes 10 yards right, 45-yard line.
Okay, so that is a big deal. You get it at midfield as opposed to you miss the 14 and 15, you're on the 25-yard line.
Yeah.
So it's onside kicks are for what? To get back in the game or to, you know, try to stay in a game, right?
Right.
Or
and go it ahead always, in the game. By the way, be the 25-yard line. You might convert a 12-yard pass.
Right.
And get it at the 37-yard
line. Gotcha.
You know, so
true.
It would be turnover on downs. You get the ball wherever it is. Then again, you may sack the quarterback and get it at the 15-yard line.
So it's just one play, though.
It's one play, and if there's an offensive penalty, like say there was a holding on the play, the team doesn't then get to decide, hey, we're going to kick it off now. They got to go.
They got to go for it.
Once they've committed
25.
Yeah, they have to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
that. You can only do it twice, by the way.
And you can only do it twice. So if you wanted to onside kick more than twice in a game, you would have to go with the standard onside kick.
Well, and the thing is, you're lucky to get one.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? If you convert, I mean, you're lucky to get one. It's hard to convert that.
Not that we ever see him anymore, but the surprise onside kick.
Right.
You know, I'm surprised that we didn't hear anything coming out of them discussing these new rules yesterday about what the XFL was doing with kickoffs because there was a kickoff return every time and it was a much less dangerous play. I'm surprised that it didn't seem like there was any conversation about that at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that, what they did with the kickoff. And you're right, it did. I mean, look, and advantage to the, you know, it's hard to make someone miss. Well, I guess it was hard for a guy like me, but you know, as opposed to running, you know, 30 yards to get to the ball carry, and you got to make that your guy miss so he can't get his hands on you, as opposed to 10, advantage the return team in that regard, I would think. I don't know the stats on it, but I like that rule. You know, I actually like the 4th and 15. That's kind of interesting. Think about this. You're down by whatever, 10, 12. You score 2 points. We're going for it. We're going to go for it again. Then you convert. I mean, you're
back in the damn, and
you're in rhythm. I kind of like
it. Here's the thing. The clock will run on this play.
Okay.
Unlike if you kick it off and you kick it through the end zone, the clock's not going to run.
Right.
So what was brought up yesterday and part of the discussion was, all right, you're a team, let's say, who takes the lead, right, on a near last second play. You kick the extra point. You're up one now. Instead of kicking it off and risking a kickoff return, You line up your offense 4th and 15. You let the quarterback run around for a few seconds, chuck it deep. The clock's going to run out.
Okay.
And so you can you can use it that way, but they're letting the clock run, so you're not getting like a free offensive play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's still a penalty that. So, what would you do? You like the idea? Would you keep the onside kick? Would you go to this, or are you not sure?
How
you
I like the idea.
You like it?
I do, but do they get the option to do either or?
Correct.
Right?
You don't have
so
to.
So I
do
like
it.
That. I like that.
I mean, I suppose you could still line up and because you can only do it twice in a game.
Yeah.
You can still line up an onside kick if you wanted to.
Like, there's a simple way to fix that. It's like if you run an onside, if you run the onside kick play with a lead, the clock doesn't run. Like, that's easy to fix.
You could, but I don't think they're going to do that, though.
I don't think they will, but it's like if that becomes a thing where they're letting teams, you know, instead of having to kick it off one more
time. It's still probably rare, though. I mean, you'd have to take the lead with a few seconds left on the clock.
Sure,
you know
which is
mean?
Why you'd put the rule in place. It's like, we're not letting you just – the game's not over. We wanted one more play. We're going to get one more play.
All right, so what do you want? You want the new one, or you want to keep the onside kick?
I'd go with the new one.
You go with the new one. E, what are you doing? Go
ahead. I like that 4th and 15.
All right, what do you think – the people who have voted so far in our poll, about 300 people on this poll this morning, what do you think they're going with?
Every time this has gotten brought up, the people that react to me, at least, are like, this is too quirky. I want nothing to do with it.
Well, because Prosser was saying, oh, boy, I bet it's like 90% in favor of the 4th and 15. Your option was, are you in favor of it? Yes, because onside kicks are dumb. No, it's too gimmicky, or I'm not sure. 15% weren't sure. 48.2%, nope, too gimmicky. And that left 36.7%. Yeah. So only about a third of people said, yeah, let's get rid of the onside kicks.
I don't think onside kicks are dumb. I mean,
they're ineffective now.
Well, now they are, right.
It's a like
dumb play
a moot
now.
Play.
Right.
It is.
Okay, so then it is dumb.
Yeah,
well, then
I just wanted to be snarky. And
well, no, I get it. But so why would one do the onside kick if he can do the 4th and 15?
You probably wouldn't.
You probably ever.
Unless you were down by 3 scores and you did it twice successfully,
right.
And now you can only do it twice.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But
that's interesting. I think it's
kind of
cool.
If you're down by 3 scores in the 4th quarter, you're probably screwed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep. You should lose.
Right. Right. Game over.
Right.
Get your ass home.
All right. Let's say hello to XL Prime Time.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, we are open, offering stress-free ordering and tamper-resistant packaging on all to-go, curbside delivery, and drive-through orders. Welcome to Moe's.
All right, Joe C. is in the house. Hello, Joe.
What is happening, fellas? I'm still laughing. I think Food Network needs to know about grocery store combat. I think that actually could be a game.
You got
that
pen,
could be a game,
you
Joe.
A can of soup.
Ooh, let's write it up and get that protected.
Like scenario one.
We'll call it
guys,
deal.
Grocery games. Here comes McManus around the corner.
No, think about it. You know how you do those, like when you're shooting guns and the fake, you know, target comes out, looks like a person? Well, you have a fake shooter come in. Who can hit him first with a can? Boom! Boom! 1,000 points.
That'd be good, right? And then you got to be careful because it just might be Granny looking for you don't know.
You don't want to hit Granny with a Campbell's can.
No. Not especially if she's looking for Metamucil.
No.
Jeez.
I mean,
listen, Granny. Poor Gramps.
Metamucil's for young people, too.
Now, listen, Joe's telling us something right here. Joe,
like
what are you doing for Memorial Day weekend?
Single greatest. Well, you know, I'm a rib man. I'm a barbecue man, so I will definitely be doing that. We'll have the family there, probably beach on Sunday, nice. Tommy, because I'm thinking it's going to be way too packed. On Sunday. But anyway, it'll be all of that. It'll be, I always label it, and I don't think I'm going to change much this year. You know, it's beer, buds, and barbecue. And when I say buds, I mean the can, not
Joe. Joe's a
I thought you were
a wing guy more than a rib.
Well, I love wings.
I actually am thinking of ribs and wings this weekend because, look, I have grilled so much during the Rona that I just got to keep cycling through. Yeah. All my stuff. Haven't had wings in a while, so I was thinking about that. Mm. But I have to have ribs.
Well, we know Hacker's got his eye on the sausage. So
kind of a sausage guy. Yeah,
I'm a sausage guy,
and he can't have a wing because he says it might be boneless.
The,
so
oh, he's got the skinny esophagus or something, right?
I love it.
I'm so happy that I've never been accused of being a skinny of anything.
Skinny esophagus.
Skinny esophagus, baby.
Joe, have a good weekend. Have a good show today.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to all you guys.
All right, what are you doing for Memorial Day weekend,
Beach, more beach. Got a brother and family in town, and we're going to be at the beach all
weekend.
All right,
Tony Smith.
I'm not sure yet. I am I'm reading The Bedford Boys, which is about a little town in West Virginia that had 36 kids that landed on the beach at Normandy.
Oh.
So I'm reading about that. It's a good Memorial Day read. I was reading last night. They wound up in Camp Landing right here in Jacksonville before they got shipped out.
Wow.
And I saw that Camp Landing was the fourth largest city in Florida during World War II.
Wow.
Because of the men that they were bringing in and out.
Yeah.
And I'll probprobably wind up watching We Stand Together, which is the Band of Brothers documentary. Yeah. At some point this weekend, want to get together with the family, do some grilling out or something at some point, too. So,
E, what are you doing?
Hennessy and homework. Come
Hennessy
on, somebody.
And homework. Hen in the work, hen in the home.
Come on, somebody.
You'll probably find me in an area golf course tomorrow.
Nice.
And Sunday.
Beauty.
Can't speak for Monday yet. That's a little too far out in the plans, but.
Yeah.
Wouldn't bet against
Monday's going to be a little bit of recovery day for me, but we'll be all right.
It might be for me as well. Yeah. So, other than that, just spend time with the family, which I've been doing every day anyway.
You know,
been working at home, schooling at home.
That's right.
All that stuff. Colin's got like two more days left of 10th grade.
Yeah, I think mine are done. I think they're done.
He's basically done, but it technically ends next Wednesday, I think.
Yeah.
That's the final count.
I tell you what, these kids, this virtual school, man, some kids are done early. They know how to work the system. I'd have been that kid.
I tell you
what, all day long to mess around.
Yep. My son seems to have a handle on it. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for tuning in and listening to Jaguars Today. Stick around for XL Primetime. For Tommy Mack, for Tony Smith, for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. We will be back Tuesday from 10 to noon talking more Jaguar NFL football and other frivolous mentions as well. So, ballpoint, Tom, or what are we talking about exactly? Do we have a?
Yeah, you got to be able to penetrate the skin.
Yeah,
so if it's like felt,
you don't want a felt tip, right?
Yeah, that's silly. Something.
Yeah,
sharp.
Go with the ballpoint.
Get him right in the carotid. It's over, man.
That's just one good shot in the carotid with a ballpoint pen.
I mean, is it ever going to happen? No, but it's like
just in case. In case
maybe I'll start carrying a can of soup in my back pocket. I don't know.
Maybe you will. We'll find out.
That's why I carry Bear Mace everywhere I go.
And on that note, we are done. Thanks again for listening. Stick around. XL Primetime coming up next right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.